The 21st.
21st of Nisan.
Third of Nisan.
Oh, that's 21st.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Question. Oh, you
were on the record.
The brachot for fruit trees. We can say that soon. I think in Nisan you can say that.
If there is a budding fruit tree.
We have a budding tree this week.
It's one of our house. Trees.
You start as a Rosh Chodesh Nisan?
But that's the fruit tree. Can't be the same.
I got a peach tree and a...
Okay.
While you're flipping through the page. Yeah. This is fourth-hand information. I had another rabbi. The question is exactly to what level. We said last class we could put the garbage on the curb. It's my impression that we left it. It should be in a plastic bag that we do not own. Left unattended. A fourth-hand, maybe quoting Rabbi Parnas. They said it could have garbage up front until Tuesday. It's not a problem. And I said, I'm sure that was not in their own container. This fourth-hand information thought maybe it had been in the own container. Were we saying that you should not have it in your own?
No, it could be that it's okay. It depends on whether having it in your own garbage can is considered like you owning it.
That's my question.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
I'll tell you the truth. thus far, this is the first time that I have my own garbage bin. when I lived in apartment complexes, there was always a dumpster.
Sure.
And then even in the last 4 years in Columbus, I lived in a townhouse, but it was four of us that shared one garbage bin, and it was owned by the county. So.
Feel like a big
No, people used to come from all around to put the garbage in my bin because it was owned by the county. So it was great. So I'm just not 100% sure. Thank you so much. I'm waiting for it to be my own house. That's
another. Yeah, I'm main.
Okay.
The bus is getting better.
Okay. We are in Taf Ayin Beis, and we're up to Seif Ches, which is on page 161. Just to announce everybody before we get started that on this coming Tuesday at 7:30 p.m., I and Rabbi Feinlich are going to be at the home of Mrs. Chana Grove to go through her kitchen and show any woman who wants to come about preparing the kitchen for Pesach, including cleaning it and kashering it. So if there are any women that you know of who would want to go through that, unfortunately it's Tuesday, which is less than a week before Pesach, and many women will have already done everything they need to do. But if that is when it's going to be, at 7:30 in the evening, if anybody knows of someone who wants to be there. Beth Jacob sent out an email today about it. Ches. You have to drink the four cups of wine on the proper order of the Seder. If you drink them one after the other, not in the proper order, you've not fulfilled your obligation. The four cups of wine are drunk at very specific points in the Seder. The first one is Kiddush. The second one is said on Magid, on telling the story. After you tell the story, you drink the cup of wine. The third one is said on benching. And the fourth one? Hallel. It's set on Hallel. Now that's why you're supposed to pour the cups of wine before you do these things. Obviously, when you recite Kiddush, you don't pour the cup of wine after you finish saying Kiddush. You recite Kiddush on a full cup of wine. So too, when you say in the Haggadah, when you do Magid, you're supposed to do it with a full cup of wine. That's why you pour the cup. That's why you refill the cup at the beginning of Magid for the Manishtana, and you have it full the entire time. You take some out when you dip with your finger, when you are when you do Dam Tzareh, etc., when you do the Makos, but that you have a full cup of wine because you are reciting, the Haggadah on a full cup of wine. When you bench, also we pour the cup before you begin benching because you're going to bench on a full cup of wine, and then we recite Hallel on a full cup of wine, and you drink it when you finish these four things. So you have to do it with those. In that way. If you just drink four cups of wine without doing it in the proper places, then you're not yotzei kohen mechalef. Test. Shir hakos revius. The shir of the kos should be a revius. Ma'achar shim zegenu, after you have diluted it. In those days, the wine was undiluted. You had to add water to the wine. It was generally one part wine, three parts water. Today, when we buy our wine, it already is diluted, so we don't need to dilute it anymore. He just adds imrot to the mozgo. If you want to dilute it, you don't have to dilute it, but if you want to, then then it should be a full revius after you diluted. V'yishta kulo orubo. You need to drink all of it or most of it. V'yishbo, that's either most, either all or most of a revius. V'yishbo harbe revios. If there are many revios in your cup, let's say you have a large goblet that has three or four revios in it, then you can have several people drink from the same cup. In other words, if there are four revios, then four people could be yotzei one cup of wine with that one cup. But some say shetzarach lishos rov hakos. Some say you need to drink most of the cup itself. Even if it holds many revios, you still need to drink most of the kos. Tzarach lishtos hashir shalo behefsek gadol. Meantime, you need to drink it without much of a weight. As you're drinking, you should drink most of it at once.
Is this the same halacha, or just halacha of kiddush, not specifically abakosos,
yeah,
or both kosos?
Yeah. Now, the rove of a revius is what we call mali lugmav, which is a cheekful. That's rove of a revius. See, a revius.
So 68 ml.
I'm so bad at this. I can't tell you.
86 milliliter.
86 milliliter.
But you're not doing per liter.
You're doing all the. 68 milliliter. 68. 68. He's got it. There are different opinions for the size of a revius. Yeah, there are three opinions that are brought, and they range from, and I wish I, 3.3 I think is the lowest. What do you have over there?
You're right, it's 86, you're right.
What do you have? What do you have in fluid ounces?
An ounce. I got my little pump. I have 1 ounce.
It's an ounce, it's really tall. Oh, yeah.
What do you have? You have eight. That's says there.
86. 86. It is the same for a revius.
Okay. So you drink rove of that. Now, and you have to drink it relatively quickly. You don't have to gulp it down, but you shouldn't drink a sip, then wait, then sip a little more, and then wait. You should drink it straight, like you're drinking a drink.
That's
we're going to talk about that in a moment.
What?
Moshe wine, we're going to get to in a moment.
Like 30 cc's to an ounce.
Okay. Misheno shosa yayin mipnei she maziko. Someone who doesn't drink wine because it hurts him. Oh, she osono, or he doesn't like it. Sarach livchok atzma velishtos lekayim mitzvah arbakosos. You have to force yourself and drink it in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of the four cups of wine. Now, this does not mean if it makes you so sick that you have to go to bed. It doesn't mean if it makes you bedridden, you don't have to drink it. But if it makes you bedridden, but if it's just that it gives you a stomachache, or that it gives you a little headache, or you just don't like how it tastes, you have to drink it anyway, because that's the mitzvah of the four cups of wine. Now, a person who cannot drink wine, and it's very difficult to drink wine, then the alternative is grape juice. That is the alternative. But really, the best thing would be to try to keep it as wine, even if you're going to use grape juice, which means that you mix the grape juice and the wine. You see, in order for it to be considered wine in halacha, I believe that as long as it's 4% alcohol, that is sufficient to be called wine. So that means... 4%. I think. So that means if you have a 12% wine, which is what most wines are, right around 12%, if you don't have those really light... I use
5%,
the... 5%. I use that also. Mm-hmm. I don't have a tolerance for the high alcohol wines. But if you have the typical 12% wines, you can make it two parts grape juice, one part wine, and you will be okay. That'll be all right. Now, a person who cannot drink wine, this does happen, so then, and they can't drink grape juice, that's a real bind. And my wife had this problem. My wife, after having our baby, who is now three, not the most recent baby, the one before that, she had, when my wife would have any acid, anything acidic, then this baby would break out. After nursing, the baby would break out. And so, if that's the case, even though it was not life-threatening to the baby, it was just obviously uncomfortable to the baby, but there is no obligation to make a baby break out just because of the four cups of wine. There's also no obligation to give the baby formula so that you can have your four cups of wine. So therefore, she was not, my wife was not obligated to have wine or grape juice, but she couldn't have either one. So the question was what to have instead. And for this, I spoke to my Rebbe, who had me call Rav David Feinstein, that's Rav Moshe Feinstein's son, and I spoke with him, and I told him the situation, and he told me that tea would be okay. A tea would be okay for someone who can't tolerate wine. Tea would be okay. I told him my wife doesn't like tea. Now, she would have forced herself to drink tea if that was the only alternative. But he said, so then what does she? What does she like? So I said, well, she doesn't like orange juice. No, I said she can't have orange juice because orange juice is acidic. But she could have apple juice. And he said, fine, so she'll drink apple juice. So my wife had the traditional 4 cups of apple juice on Pesach, for 2 Pesachs in a row, and that's what she had. It could be even this Pesach, she'll have it again, because it's the baby...
Choosing something which is considered Chamar Medina?
That's right. The question is, how do you define Chamar Medina? So, beer is Chamar Medina, but that doesn't help you on Pesach. Right?
Coke is just not considered,
Coke,
soda
Coke,
is not...
So Moshe Feinstein held that soda is not.
Not Chashav in other way.
Yeah. Moshe Feinstein held that Coke was just flavored water. It wasn't a separate drink. That's what he held. Now, my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Udeman Zichron Livracha, held at first that soda was an acceptable alternative as Chamar Medina for Kiddush. And that, in fact, that rule was in place in the yeshiva for a short time. But then Rav Moshe Feinstein came out against it, and my Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Udeman, did not want to disagree with Rav Moshe. And he said, if Rav Moshe says it's no good, then he recanted, and so therefore I don't know of anybody of high standing who says that soda would be considered acceptable.
It seems to just make a difference whether it's hot tea.
I don't think it makes a difference. I don't think it makes a difference. I think once it's Chamar Medina, it makes no difference. You drink it as you like it. Now again, this is only for someone who can't tolerate wine and it makes them sick, or for like in my case with the baby, something like that. Not just because you dislike it, and not just because it gives you a little bit of an intolerance. That's not enough of an excuse not to drink wine or at least grape juice. All these things are for situations where those can't be done at all.
But what level do you go to grape juice? I mean, again, if you get a headache, a slight headache, you can go to grape juice. I'm not asking for myself.
Yeah. It's preferable to keep some alcohol in there if you can.
Okay.
If a person's going to not be able to tolerate it, then, you know, moving to grape juice is not as radical as moving to apple juice.
Right. If someone's expecting, obviously they would not have to drink wine
if
the doctor
told
them no alcohol.
That's right. But if they can have grape juice, they should.
Fine.
Mitzvah lechazer achar yayin edom. It is a mitzvah to try to get red wine. If the white wine isn't better. See, the question is, why red? The Rama is saying the reason why red is better is because it's a higher quality wine. And that's why you should use red wine.
Is that the criteria?
That's the way the Rama says it. But if the white wine is a better quality wine, then you can use the white wine. There is another reason.
What?
And that is, excuse me?
It resembles the dam, the
right,
blood.
The blood. However, the Mishnah Berurah himself brings that if you live in a place which, God forbid, is prone to blood libels, then you should not use red wine.
Okay.
Right.
It's a blood thing on the dam.
How strong is it? Is it a shulgan mit? Or beivrit?
If a mishu gar in a place where the goyim say that they are shochting the tinokot and they are the dam,
I learned that Ben Ish Chai said even for regular kiddush, for Sfarim, the highest level is red wine.
Yeah, same thing.
So it's for the same reason that it's considered a higher level, better wine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But if you have a higher quality white wine, then you can use that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that true for kiddush or shabbos?
Yeah.
But the wines we have are high quality.
Yeah, we find both types. I'm not enough of a wine connoisseur to be able to really understand whether red is better or white is better. I did know how we make red and how you make white. I did know this, but I don't remember now. I did know. I read this recently.
How you did the wine?
How you make it red or white? It's the grape. It's the skin of the grape, and it depends on whether you. I don't think it's where the juice comes from. It's whether you let the skin sit.
No, it's kind of gross.
I don't think so.
Anyway,
you were there? You know better than me. Okay, fine. Fine. Okay. But it's not that the juice comes out a different color. It's that the skin of the red grape.
The skin is all.
Yeah.
Yes, Teva Adom, yes, Shalom, Vim Adomim, Vim Erukim.
זה צבע של הזה, מזה עושים קיים.
Okay. Yud Beis. Yotzin b'yayin mevushal u'b'kundito, and you can be yotzin your mitzvah with yayin mevushal, which means cooked wine, u'b'kundito, and with spiced wine. You could be yotzin your mitzvah. So that's what Terry was asking about yayin mevushal. Now we know that yayin which is not mevushal is considered to be a higher quality than wine which is mevushal. And so... Okay. Yeah, you have the concern if you're using wine which is not mevushal that you would have the problem if you have a non-Jew at your Seder. And some say even a non-Shomer Shabbos Jew would be a problem with non-mevushal wine. And so...
Pouring it or drinking it?
Touching it.
Touching it once it's open.
Touching it once it's open. Right. And so, but the overwhelming majority of wines today are cooked anyway. And so you don't have the problem with the overwhelming majority of wines. Some people, especially wine connoisseurs, my uncle's a wine connoisseur, and he has these non-mevushal wine that he likes to get, and he says it tastes different. It's totally lost on me.
It works, because mevushal wine is actually destroyed in some context. That's what makes it...
Some Rishonim say, the Rambam says, that mevushal wine is inferior, and that's why it won't be Yayin Nesach. Others disagree. Some say the reason is because it wasn't common, and that's why. But today it certainly is common, and that's the overwhelming majority of wines. But it is, if you're going to have at your Seder a mixed group, which is most common, most people Sedarim, they have all kinds of people at the Seder, you should definitely check your wines and make sure that they are mevushal if you're going to have people at your Seder that may invalidate the wine. Bear in mind, though, that, and this has nothing to do with the wine thing, but a lot of people just don't know this halacha. Bear in mind that you cannot have over a non-Jew on Yontif. Yontif, you can't have over a non-Jew for a meal. You can only have over Jews. On Shabbos, you're allowed to have over a non-Jew for a meal, but not on Yontif. And the reason is because you're allowed to cook on Yontif. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. But that which you're allowed to cook on Yontif is only for Jews. You're not allowed to cook for non-Jews on Yontif. Mm-hmm. If one cooks for a non-Jew on Yontif, that's like cooking on Shabbos. Wow. It's an Avera. It's Michal Yontif. You're not allowed to do it. And so, since we are concerned that you may cook for your guests, which you're allowed to cook for your guests, but therefore you're not allowed to invite a non-Jew, and this is a real halacha, it's usher to invite a non-Jew for a meal on Yom Kippur.
If it would, was in the same day, Kiru Shabbat, Yom Tov, Kiru, Aseder Ayachal B'Shabbat.
Yeah, if the Seder would be on Shabbat, the first night of Pesach, yeah, that would be okay, because the first night is Shabbos. Shabbos would be okay.
So how do a lot of people,
Rebbeim,
invite going to
the Seder?
Who says
they do?
I know
that. What?
I've heard somebody in the community try to give a heter for it before. Is there any difference between the Pesach and the Yom Tov? Shpoch, Hamas, Alagoyim,
more reason not to.
Right, but that's the thing. Is it more so in Pesach than Sukkot?
I think that with Pesach, it's incongruous. They don't belong there.
Yeah.
The whole thing is about the supremacy of us over them. The whole thing is, it's weird to me to do that. But
if you have somebody with not a good conversion?
Yeah, that's a serious question.
But what if they're sure that maybe they may be heir of Rav, so they can...
So if you have those situations, it's against a child. Or if there's an intermarriage, so there may be a heter that you're allowed to invite the spouse that is Jewish, and then the other one just comes along. I don't know. You have to ask a shiloh about those things. But I'm not coming to say that anybody who has a sticky situation is stuck. You have to ask. But I just want to bring out the awareness, because a lot of people just aren't aware of the halacha. Yud Gimel. Afilu ani amisparnes minat tzedaka, even a poor person who lives off of charity, yimkar malbusho, he should even sell his clothing, o yove, or he should borrow money, o yaskir atzma, or he should, literally means that he should hire himself out in his work, bishvil yayin ledal kosos, in order to get himself wine for the four cups of wine. Now, you have to make sure to get yayin for the four kosos. It is one of the primary mitzvahs. One should do that. Right. If a person only has enough wine for four cups, but we have two nights, so we need eight cups. The person only has enough for four cups, they should use them all the first night. Don't save any for the second night. All four should be used the first night. What's that?
Shouldn't dilute them down.
Well, you can dilute them down to the bare minimum, where it would still be a bar piyagafen.
Yeah.
the 4%.
No, that's alcohol.
Okay.
No, but in order for it to be a Bar Piyagafen, you have to have, it has to be, how much percent? See, here's the problem. The problem is our wines are already diluted. But if you have pure wine, then as long as it's more than 1/6 wine and 5/6 water, you could still make a Bar Piyagafen. The problem is our wines are already diluted. So you have to know how much the percentage of water in the first place.
Wait, how many medalelim is this? How many medalelim did you say?
To dilute?
לדלל כאילו מה?
מה זה לדלל?
To take away to
retain מים בעניין.
כן, נו, לדלל. איך כמה אחוזים מותר?
אם יש אחד משש.
שיין, אז זה
בסדר. יין. אבל היין שלנו כבר מזוג.
כן, אני יודע.
אז צריכים לדעת כמה מים יש.
זה מאוד קשה לשתות יין שהוא לא מדולל עם מים.
Yeah. אבל אם אתה רוצה...
לדלל
יותר. ממה שיש כבר ביין, אז צריכים לדעת כמה יש כבר. ידעוד, גם הנשים חייבות בארבע כוסות, also the women are chayav in the four cups of wine, ובכל מצוות הנוהגות בעת הלילה, and all the mitzvahs of that night. So we may as well stop here for a moment and just discuss how many mitzvahs do we have that night? The night of Seder. How many mitzvahs do we do?
Yeah, agata lebincha.
Okay, so we just said matzah, maror, yayin, the four cups. We have ikarta levincha, right? That which is sipur yitzis mitzrayim.
Es chavakat hamazon.
Okay, chavakat hamazon. Okay, that's true.
Seibok is a separate mitzvah.
Okay, seibok is part of the mitzvah. This is what you
kiddush.
Kiddush is part of our makosos, but you're right. You're right.
Afikoman is a
zecher.
Okay,
it's a zecher. But we're missing one very important one.
Ma matzah, mamu.
No,
halal.
Halal is a mitzvah.
Halal is a mitzvah?
Yeah.
Nirot, Gandhi has Nirot, Mashim. What? Nirot, Shul Yom Tov, or it's not...
That's before. Yeah. So the women are chayev in all of these mitzvahs. They are chayev in matzah, maror, they're chayev in sipur yitzias mitzrayim. That's a machlokes, but we've seen the past them. They are chayev in sipur yitzias mitzrayim.
Yitzias mitzrayim, the machlokes?
זה מחלוקת,
כן. למה? זה הגעת לבינך.
יש מחלוקת. דיברתי על זה כבר היום. אז בסיפור יתיס מצרים, there's the four cups of wine.
דיברת על הנשים. לא הנשים, דיברת על הנשים.
And then there's...
מחלוקת על נשים?
נשים.
And halal. Halal. Of course, benching also. But halal also, they have to do. So this is important to note that the women are chayiv in this as well. Tesvav. Tinaikas shehigiu lechinuch. When a child has reached the age of chinuch, mitzvah litim l'chol echad, kaisa l'fanav, it is a mitzvah to give them each a cup in front of them. They should have their own cup. Hagah, vein likach kais shepiv tsar, you shouldn't take a cup that its mouth is narrow. Kain klugwaz, like a klugwaz, whatever that is.
Shot glass,
yeah. Ibnei shalo yuchal lishtais revias ke'echad, because then you can't drink revias all at once, because only a little bit comes out at a time. Not a shot glass, but it has a very narrow top. And you can't drink it all at once. And anyway, whenever you bench with a cup of wine, you're not supposed to use a cup like that, which has to do with benching on a kus. And he says to look before in Simukuf Pei Gimel. V'chein ha-koshal kiddush, and also with the koshal kiddush. So now with the kids, so what age is the yil chinuch? So you know that for most mitzvahs, it says kivar shis kivar sheva, 6 or 7 years old is considered to be old enough for many mitzvahs. So this is going to depend on the kid. You know, it's not a hard and fast rule. Everybody's going to depend on the kid, how late it is, how late the kid is up. As we're going to see later, it's a mitzvah, that's the next halacha. It's a mitzvah to keep the kids up as best you can. Whether they can handle wine or grape juice or whatever it is, that all depends on the kid. But as the kid gets older, then you want to make sure that they are up for more of the Seder, which means that they're drinking more of the cups. And you want to make it more wine than grape juice as the kid gets older. As the kid's able to tolerate more, then you want to do more. Kez Zayin, mitzvah l'chalek l'tinaikas klayos ve'egayzim k'dei she'yiru shinoi v'yishalu. It's a mitzvah to get out to the kids, klayos ve'egayzim, which is nerde with candy. Klayos is roasted wheat, roasted pieces of wheat, and egayzim are nuts, whatever it is, right?
Nuts.
Yeah,
like, I mean,
the peanut.
Hazelnut.
Hazelnut.
It's not.
Yeah,
we don't use
in order that they should see the difference and they should ask. In other words, the kids are going to start getting dessert before the meal. Start giving them treats. And they'll say, what's this all about? And that gets the kids to ask. It also serves the purpose of keeping the kids up. And that also... That also
all the shtick.
What's that?
The toy shtick and the things people do. And
whatever you're going to do.
There's a makar for all that.
But it is a mitzvah to give them treats. The night, it is a minag to give them treats the night of the Seder to keep them up and to make them ask. Now, what we do at our Seder is I keep a container of whatever it is, you know, chocolate lentils or little marshmallows or whatever it is at the Seder. And whenever a child asks a good question, they get some. So that also encourages, first of all, keeps them up because they want it. And also it encourages them to be more involved in the Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that works. So it's just a way, it's just a variation on this. That's not the minhag. The minhag is just to give it out some. But that I have found that has worked. In my particular family, that has worked well to keep the kids into it for an extended period of time. Okay, let's move on to the next siman. Tavayin Gimel. Moz Gimel Kos Rishon, you pour the first cup of wine. Umekadosh Shalav, you make Kiddush on that cup of wine. Umevarach Shachianu, you make the bracha of Shachianu. Yimchal B'Shabbos, if it would come out on Shabbos, which this year it does not. Omer Vayechulu, then you would also say Vayechulu. V'imcha b'matzai Shabbos, Omer Yak Nahaz, then you say the whole Kiddush of Matzai Shabbos, which is Yain Kiddush near Havdol Azman, which does not happen this year. V'imshachach lahav, v'yovlo nizkar ad, shehiskil ha-Haggadah, if you forgot to say Havdolah, and then you started the Haggadah, yashlim ha-Haggadah ad gal yesov achach yavdil, okay, again, this is not Nogia this year, then you finish the Haggadah until the brach of Gaal Yisrael, and that's when you're Mavdil. Haggadah. V'ein lito yod of klal, kodem Kiddush, shouldn't wash your hands before Kiddush because you're going to wash for, you want there to be a shinoi. The whole point is you're going to wash for karpas and then you're going to wash again for hamotzi. V'im ein yadu nikios, if his hands are not clean, yito ma'at, then you should wash a little bit. Aval ein levarach, you certainly should not make a brach on this natila. Ubal abayis lo yimzog ba'atzmo, you also shouldn't pour the cup yourself. Rather, someone else should pour, which is a way of freedom. Now, let me just, there's two points over here. The Ramah holds, by regular Kiddush during the year, that you wash for bread before Kiddush.
Yeah.
So over here, he has to write that the Leil Seder, you don't do that. If you're a Yankee, you don't wash before Kiddush the night of the Seder. Because you have to say Magid after Kiddush before Hamotzi. So to have that long hefsek is not appropriate. Well, you certainly should not wash before Kiddush.
Why must Ashkenazim today not do it?
I'm not sure. You think you're the Ramal that way? Mm-hmm.
You do. You don't do it.
I don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure why not. I don't know. I don't do it because my father doesn't do it. I was once at a family's house that had many, many teenage daughters, and they had adopted this minhag of washing before Kiddush. Only that they only had the kids do it, the parents didn't. that was their minhag. And anyway,
before you come to this table, you wash your hands.
Yeah, it's more smooth that way. I agree with you.
It makes sense.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense, but that's not the way most people do it.
Quite a question to the Yaknas in those years when you actually have Havdalah at the Seder. For the Havdalah part of it, do you have to put two wicks of fires together?
You should. Yeah, you should. Because the Havdalah is supposed to be on a torch, not just on a light.
Then we hear the rabbis arguing that when you take them apart, you're doing something problematic, and I didn't understand that ever. I just hear them argue about it.
We'll worry about that.
It
actually is going to happen. Is it going to happen Shavuos this year?
Shavuos was a
No, Shavuos in the middle of the week this year. So Pesach is Tuesday, Wednesday, right? Tuesday, Wednesday is the first days. So Shavuos is Wednesday, Thursday. So it's not going to happen Shavuos. Okay, but anyway, it's going to happen Sukkot. We'll talk about Sukkot.
Okay.
Right, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot. It's going to happen.
No,
why is that? No, that's not true.
Ma.
No.
Shavuos.
Rosh Hashanah this year is Thursday, Friday.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the other thing is that about pouring the wine, it is appropriate that someone else pours the wine for you, so that you are, it is derech cherus, that you are, that is, you're acting as free as a king, and someone is pouring for you. Now, you can also pour for someone else,
yeah.
Right?
How is the king if you're pouring for someone else?
Well, no, I think for your cup, for your cup, somebody pours for you.
I know.
Right? That's, right? But someone's got to pour for the other person, right? Yeah, so, okay.
Sorry, the way things work again.
Yeah. I wish.
Beis shosa behaseba veinu mavarech acharav. You should drink leaning, and we mentioned last time that if you drink and you did not lean, you gotta drink again. So make sure you lean. You don't want the 5 cups of wine, and you do not make a bracha acharon afterwards. You don't make it an al gefen ve'al pri gefen, because that cup of wine, the bracha achrona will be benching, which will be much later. Gimel, imir talishtos kama kosos, if you want to drink many cups of wine, let's say you would like to drink more wine other than these four, harashos biyado, you are permitted to do that. Umikomakom roi lizar shalo lishtos bein rishon l'sheni, but you shouldn't drink between the first and second cups, imlo litzarach gadol, unless there is a great need. Why? Kedei shalo yishtaker, so you shouldn't become drunk, v'imana milasos haseder ukriyas hagada, that will stop you from doing the seder properly and reading the hagada. But during the meal, which is between the second and third cups, the second cup is on magid, the third cup is on benching, so between the second and third cups, if you want to drink during the meal and you like drinking wine, you can drink as much wine as you want. You'll ask, but what do you mean? You might get drunk and then you won't finish the seder, you have to say halal afterwards, but then we're not so worried because you're eating at that time. But to drink many cups of wine on an empty stomach without eating, that's where we're concerned. But if that's what you're used to doing, used to drinking wine and during your meal, that's what you usually do, you can do that all you want at the Pesach Seder.
What's implicit in this halacha is that you had a havamina that was baal tosif.
Right.
But why is it not?
It's not because it's that's a machlokes. You see, between the third and fourth cups, you're not allowed to drink. Because that would look like an extra cup. Here, it doesn't look like an extra cup, I believe, because with the first and second cups are, well, I don't remember the lumbus. Between the first and second cups, and between the second and third cups, it doesn't look like more, because for some reason they're connected to each other. I don't remember the ins and outs of it. But between the third and fourth, and certainly after the fourth, then you're not allowed to have more, because then it looks like an extra cup.
Mm-hmm. After the fourth.
Yeah. And the Seder's over. Okay, Dalid, Mevian Lifnei Bal Habayis Ka'ara, you bring before the Bal Habayis a plate, the Seder plate, Shieshba Shalosh Matzos, it has 3 matzos, Umarar, it also has Marar, Vacharoses, of course the Charoses, the Karpas, O Yerek Acher, and the Karpas or a different vegetable. You see, Karpas was a particular vegetable. Today many people use different things for Karpas. I did see in one paper anyway that Karpas was celery. But people use different things for carpets. It basically has to do with where your people are from in Europe and what they had available. Mm-hmm. Whether it was potatoes, whatever it was, whatever they had available to them.
Some of them do potato?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's not from Yarok.
Yarok.
Maror is not from Yarok. No, it's not from Yarok.
Yarok,
but Maror is not from Yarok. No. Not from him. And v'chometz omei malach, and also on the seder plate is either vinegar or salt water, which you're going to dip the karpas in. V'shnei tapshilin, and you also have 2 cooked items. Echad zeichel pesach. One is to remember the carbon pesach. V'echad zeichel chagiga. The other one is to remember the carbon chagiga, which was brought with the carbon pesach. If you had a lot of people, and there would not be enough meat on the carbon pesach to fill everybody up, and you would first bring the carbon chagiga and eat that, and that would fill you up. And then you would eat the Karban Pesach to eat it al hasova after you were full. V'nagu, and the minag is that these 2 pieces, should be b'basar ubeya, should be a roasted meat piece of meat and roasted egg. The minag today is to use a shank bone, is to use a chicken bone. Haga v'yasana ka'ar lefanav be'inyan she'in sarach lavar al ha-mitzvos, that should be set up, how you should set up the seder plate in a way that you don't have to pass over the mitzvos. Da'inu ha-karpas yihei l'mayla min ha-kol, the karpas should be on top of everything, which means it should be closer to you. Va'achom et samach lo, and next to it should be the vinegar. Yoser min hamatzah, that should be closer to you than the matzah. V'hamatzos min hamar, the matzah should be closer to you than the mar, because they come before the mar. V'acharoses and the charoses. V'imhayu yoser krovim elav min ha... V'heim yoser krovim etzlo min habasa ubeya, and they should be closer to you than the egg and the meat, which you're not going to have at all. Now, actually, you could eat the egg if you want, but we'll talk about that later. Now, the order of the Seder plate, though most people use the what's printed in the Haggadah, which is according to the Zohar, which is Al-Pi Kabbalah, which is not what the Rambam writes over here. But so there are different ways of setting up the Seder plate. The Habasar Nagushia Zeroa, the minig is that the basar, the meat, should be the arm. The Nagush Habasar Yetzli, the minig is that it should be roasted, al-Hagachalam, on coals. The Abeatiyah Mubushalas, and that the egg should be cooked, not roasted. But, says Rama, V'hu Adin Sluya, but that you could also make that a roasted egg. V'cheinog in Be'ireno, that's also our minog in our city to have a roasted egg. I think most everybody does use a roasted egg. You know, the trick to keep the roasted egg from blowing up is that you, see, what most people do is they cook the egg first. And then they boil it first, and then they roast it. That way it won't explode. If you want to roast it and keep it from exploding, you put a little hole in it before you roast it, and that will keep it from exploding. Okay. We'll stop here.